up on you.
The power is gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs. I am your future.
You have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio. As you know, we broadcast on 860 AM, which serves southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and also northern Delaware. I'm asking all of you to contact family and friends and invite them to tune in. If you received an email this morning, send it off to someone new. We have a lot of new people, and I want to say a special thank you to all those that contact me as a result of our Saturday broadcast. We started to have you know, people from the Saturday listen in on Wednesday, and it's really, really a very good experience. First of all, I have some questions to ask our panel members that are with us today. And also, I want to say a special thank you to the good people like Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store. And I want to encourage you to support his store. Go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and right on the front page, you'll see the Made in America store label. People tell me that they do support Mark, and I'm very, very pleased to hear that. And also, Mark has a radio show of his own every Saturday, and you can listen to rebroadcasts of that simply by logging on to the same place. And right under his logo, it is the Made in America radio show. Also, a special thank you to Larkin Connolly, National Small Business Advocate. And by the way, Larkin, a listener asked me to ask you a question. So at some point during the broadcast today, I will certainly do that. Also, Rich Loges, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, he will be with us possibly today. He's on a pre-scheduled event. And our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash. Always pleased to hear from you. And I'll even let you know a little bit about my ventures over the last weekend, which I thought was very interesting, and it gave me some enlightenment. And maybe Larkin Connolly will like hearing some of the things that I went through, and I still have that question. Very interesting question. You know, as I was riding into the studio today, I thought, you know, all of us have the same 24 hours a day. Let's use that to support each other, and also let's use that to look out for American workers. And that will be part of the question I'll be asking Larkin in a while. With so many businesses that closed down or partially had to close down over the last 8, 10, or 12 months, it certainly has not been easy for them to recover overnight. It's going to be a real job for them to come back. All businesses that were affected by the aftermath of the coronavirus certainly need our help, and I'm pleading with you to make sure when you go out, look out for the small businesses, because they really help to keep over 60 million Americans employed all over the USA, and that includes our very own Mark Andel and the Made in America store. He is celebrating 11 years of being there to do his thing, and of course, everything that you buy there is 100% American-made, and I'll be talking about my visit to a particular store this week, which I think you'll enjoy. It's not like when you look around and you see paper in the windows and we're closed, thank you for your patronage over the years. You know, it's not like these people were closed for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. We're talking about 8, 10, 12 months being closed. How can you pay your bills without a regular income? No one understands that. But when you're in a business, you put your heart and your soul and you invest your life in that business. And that's really one of the reasons I'm always pleading with people to go to the small businesses, because they really keep our communities alive. When you go into a big business, that's great. But when you go into the small businesses, you're walking down Main Street in your area and you're looking how can I help these businesses? I want you to do that. Please do that in behalf of all of us involved with American Workers Radio and the Buy American Made campaign. And as I reported before, and as was reported in the national media during the last few days, America has 8 million jobs less than it did 1 year ago as a result of the closures of the coronavirus that were, you know, reported in mid-March. What happened is the people that were able to work virtually were able to do that. However, restaurants and some of the other businesses that work with the public directly had to close down. Those people have been out of a job, and we're looking forward to making sure that we get as many of them up and running as soon as possible. And as Rich Loges says, he said in the last few weeks, what did you buy recently that was made in America? And as you know, which supported America's businesses and American workers? It's a good question. I'm going to answer that question. But first, I want to go and ask for a few words from Dr. Larkin Conley. Dr. Conley, tell us everything.
Good morning, Michael. How are you this morning?
I'm doing wonderful. It was a little rough traffic, but everything is good. I was pleased over the weekend. I had a very, very interesting visit to a store, and I think you'll appreciate this because I went out and I bought some things that were American made, but one of our listeners asked me, said, Michael, I want to take you into the store. He's a manager. He's on the management team. Everything is now teams. It's not, you know, assistant. I'm in the management team. So this past Saturday, it was April the 10th, I welcomed the invitation, and he took me through this major store. It's one of the hugies. It starts with a T. It's all I'll say. And you'll know what I'm saying as we go on. He said to me, you know, Michael, I want you to he listens to the program, mainly to the rebroadcast, because he's working during the day most of the time. He says, I want you to walk with me through this store. They were doing some, you know, restocking and all this week. He said, I want you to walk with me through the store and tell me, how does anyone come into this major store with the idea on their mind, I'm looking for American made? He said, they're overwhelmed with the amount of products. It's like going into a supermarket and you see all the food, or what do I need? And you just keep moving so that you can get out of there, check out as fast as you can. I thought that was very good. And he said, Larkin Conley mentioned in the past that he was part of SCORE. And I'd like you to ask him a question, and I will ask that question in a little bit. But he said to me, the key to major changes is continuing the message, ask people at the stores, is there an American-made version of any particular product, to get it into the managers' ideas that they have to talk to the suppliers and the, you know, the regional managers and the supply chain managers. He said, otherwise, there are more American-made products available. They're just not available to us. He said, I can go into smaller stores and they're there, but the big merchandisers just don't want to pull in these American-made products. So he said, bring that up today and I'll be very happy to listen in and give you my thoughts and maybe even come on one day and let you know what he thinks as a person involved. He told me also that the key to success with all of this is for people to support what they can find American. And of course, the local hoagie shop is American. The local pizza place, all these little stores, they all employ American workers. That's a wonderful part of the business aspect. However, how about the manufacturing end of it? How about the things that are stocked in these stores? So that is my question of the day. And Larkin, I do have the question that he wants me to ask you. Maybe I'll ask you right now. He said, ask Larkin, how many years ago Did he feel that too many industries were closing down and leaving America? Larkin, that's your question.
Wow. That's a great question. That really is a great question. You know, long before President Trump, and I'm going to use the apparel industry, American apparel was making America great again. The clothes were being made in Los Angeles, and they were being sold to mass markets all over the country. Now, American apparel is closing its shops. And let me give you one of those statistics of how hard that is. In 1990, there were 938,600 American apparel manufacturing jobs.
Can you repeat that again?
Today, 938,600 apparel manufacturing jobs in America. Today, 100,000.
Oh, my gosh.
And 100,000, that's... How did that happen, and when did that happen? Let me answer the question in a political sense. You can't hardly get around politics without answering it. Just like the other countries' manufacturing workers, clothes makers were spurred by NAFTA and that element of Chinese as the most favored nation status in the early 90s. And this manufacturing went to Mexico, NAFTA member, and Central America, NAFTA member, and then on to Asia. We virtually, by using NAFTA, gave other nations favored treatment, most favored nation is what it's called politically, and that was done by, well, I'll allow you to guess it, in 1990. Bush doesn't come away from this thing untouched either.
NAFTA was proposed by who?
You know what? That's a good question. NAFTA was Clinton, I believe, was it not?
I'm not sure.
I'm going to have to look that up. To answer the listener's question, we abandoned our own industry, and it was through laws passed in Washington, D.C., like NAFTA, that spurred China and Mexico and North Korea. Of course, it didn't spur China. China was a whole different issue, another law. But Central America and all of this business went from there for a variety of reasons, quality of product and blah, 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 went to China. It just took the highway. It went to Mexico and turned right and ended up in Asia. So, you know, our lawmakers with the designation of NAFTA did not do us any favors whatsoever. And I'm going to say 1990, 30 years ago, made it acceptable and legal to watch jobs go away. Because we were developing this special trade relations with NAFTA countries. So the answer to me is it started long ago when buyers started sourcing stuff as cheap as they possibly could to widen their margins. And the most famous one for that, and I'm sorry, Walmart, you're it. They're known across the country as the cheapest store in town. And they earned that right by going out and finding and sourcing the cheapest products in town.
Very well
so
said.
I'm dancing around a huge issue. I would blame the government, and I would blame industry. That's why I want to have Scott on the program. I don't want to beat him up, but I sure do want to know what they were doing. Did they lobby and fight NAFTA? You know, what happened here? And most importantly, because you know, while I was a history major in college, I don't like discussing history and environments like this. I want to talk about how do you fix it.
Right. I agree with that.
And we need to do that as quickly as possible. We need to come up with a list of things that need to be done. And I think a master list of everybody who was a buyer, a And you can get buyers, but buyers want to be known. They want to be able to source. And in order to source, it's a two-way street. Mark, I would imagine you agree with me on that. But get a massive list and just start telling these people why buying made in America is smart and why buying made in America is good for the country and good for it's the people.
Mark, let me ask that same question to you, which is very interesting. How many years ago, you're in business and you're a worker for a long, 30 years, 25, 27 years. How many years ago in the Buffalo area did you notice that too many industries were closing down and exiting the area of Buffalo area and America itself?
Yeah, I think, welcome guys, and hello Larkin and Mike and Henry. Larkin, good report there. Larkin hit 1990, basically a million, and then went to 100,000 now. So, we're down to 10% apparel jobs. And I go back to the probably late 80s, early 90s again, Mike, and I bring up Bob Chesbrough again from Wigwam Sox of Sheboygan, Wisconsin, because the textile industry is a good, in answer to that listener's question, they used it to barter and trade these deals, like, Larkin just brought up the NAFTA, but they gave away Bob Chesbrough's industries, these textiles, because they're just making socks. But like Bob always told me, owner of Wigwam Socks, that was our livelihoods, that was our family business. The 300 employees, every time the government did a move or a trade, they gave away textile industry in this deal with other countries. It took away his livelihoods, and he was always upset with that. And that's, Mike, when they started moving, late 80s, 90s, 30, 40-year mistake now. But, it takes a pandemic to wake the country up. And why is it smart? I love Larkin. You said, with Walmart, you got to give it to them cheaper, the better. But a pandemic, why is buying and making things in America smart is because if a pandemic hits, more control between your borders. The more we can do to be self-sufficient, especially on the health and safety and the PPP products, we've learned so much. If we don't go forward and really learn from that and just go back to the old ways, we're dumb as a country. The movement's on. People have to wake up. It can't just be cheap, 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 cheap. You want the cheapest product. People, it's a cultural change. You have to educate them enough where you want to buy quality. You want to put your neighbor to work. We want to sustain our middle class. We want to have our quality life that we were used to before the pandemic. So, Mike, there's so much to this. But I think we're on our way, but educating, the American-made movie was a great tool. Clyde and Sonny Strickland put $4 million into it. That should have went national TV. That is how you wake people at the end go, I didn't know that. Oh, I never knew that. So we always try to educate, raise awareness, and be consistent with our message. We got to continue to sell that. And it's got to be a national agenda. How we do that? We have to continue. Your show does it. My show does it. We do it. My store does it. The impact on the area, just having a store open all the time that sells 100%. But we have to really wake people up why it's important. And there's a few other things I want to get into, but that's my answer there.
But you know what? You're so right. And that American-made movie, I want to tell you, why can't that be shown?
It stopped. Everybody in their tracks, they screened it in 30 states, 30 theaters, and everybody at the end go, I didn't know that.
Yes, but doing it in the theaters is one thing, but putting it in the homes where people could tune it in, I think that's something that maybe, Mark, would be something very good.
And that's an example, a marketing tool, but a real tool that wakes people up. The pandemic woke people up. Mike, I'd like to talk about a couple things, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I just did a real-world careers, it's Meet the Professionals. It's a webinar series. It was hosted by our local chamber in East Aurora. But it dealt with four systems. I just finished it. It's a Zoom meeting. I'm not really used to it. I got an eyeball watching me, and you do that Zoom meeting. But it went out to four school districts in our area. students and teachers. And basically, they interview a CEO, an owner, entrepreneur, and they ask him about, you know, they wanted to hear my story, but then they want to know where I came from, how do you become a welder, who else you're looking for, how these kids, how we can inspire these kids to change. So it was interesting. I just finished, so I brought up back into school when I took high school, had metal shop, wood shop, power mechanics, electronics. I said, we've got to expose these kids more. But I said, we had a problem before the pandemic of skilled trades, finding skilled trade workers, and how much the technology's changed, how much these kids can use computers and the new technology, even as a welder, there's so many areas to go in. But after the pandemic here, we've got such a problem now because a lot of the things we've accomplished were cut out because of budget cuts and all this crazy stuff. But finding workers now. So I had a great interview. Again, it was a Real World Careers webinar Zoom meeting just to educate the students and the teachers on business, what we're going through, what we've done, how they can excel. And Larkin, you're always looking for ways, you know, we need answers for people. I think this was great because it educates the student, educates the teacher. You know, at the end, they don't know again. You know, they don't have a clue what it takes to run the business, what we're about. Because with General Welding and Made in America, we've got a lot to offer from welders, purchase agents, counter sales, engineers. You know, and at the store, you got distribution, you got the travel industry. You know, they're kind of blown away at the end. Wow, you've got a ton to offer or people or students could work towards to become part of your organization. So I think that was great for our chamber to be involved. It's a positive thing. And that I wanted to bring up, Mike. I think that's a really good thing going on.
That is excellent. Wow.
You know, and I just finished that, and, you know, that was her seventh one they interviewed, so they picked other CEOs. But a lot of people with the story in that, you know, they think you're crazy. But I said, you know, and you students that want to be entrepreneurs, you're risk takers. Never quit and stay hungry is at the end of the day. You know, again, you got to want to work 100 hours a week so you don't work a 40-hour job, right? So, and also finding skilled workers, not it's so hard, but they're going to get paid top dollar. We said that before. There's so few of them. And then the soft skills, you need to be a team player. You need to have a good attitude. Can you show up on time? It's great you're a rocket scientist. You went to Harvard. That's beautiful. But if you can't work with a team and other people in today's environment and want to work and earn a dollar, that's a problem I'm seeing a lot. And I want to also touch on the supply chain breakdown. Larkin's always talked about it. They're rebuilding. But what we've got is this rapid inflation. As of yesterday, I talked to a top contractor in the area just on some of these prices. A 2x4, again, before the pandemic, was $1.50 to $2 a 2x4, 8 foot. As of yesterday, it was $9.10.
For an 8 foot, 2x4?
Yeah, a 2x4, yeah, went from $1.50 to $9. Now, here's another, the guy I talked to was a contractor, talked to a lot of CEOs lately. A piece of plywood was $17 a sheet, 4 foot by 8 foot by half inch. You guys can relate to that. Yesterday was $63. So, $17 to $63 before pandemic, after pandemic. So this gentleman builds houses, does remodels, pretty well-known, good quality guy. He had 10 quotes out there of friends. The people he quoted were maybe his accountant, people he knew. None of the quotes he won because a pole barn last year before the pandemic was, say, $44,000. Now it's $90,000. Now they're looking at him like, why? You know, or a house. So he's quoted 10 quotes. He's lost them all, put all the time into the quotes. So this is real brutal fact stuff today, and I only want to bring it up. We stay positive, but these are major things fallout from the pandemic that are going to hit us so hard. Our head's going to spin that they're not showing on national television because, like, we know Trump, one thing you got to give him, he had the economy booming, and Biden's trying to make it look that way. But this stuff is going to hit, and it's going to hit hard.
And I want to just add to what you were saying, Mark, and this happened to me just yesterday. Yesterday afternoon, I pulled up at my gun and ammo dealer guy I know out in Palatka.
I love
and I walked in and I said, I said, how you doing? He said, good. Do you need anything? And I said, because sometimes I go in there and just look around. But I said, yeah, I need a box of 380 cartridges for a 6 hour for a 380. And he said, I said, do you have them? And he said, I do. Not many, but I have them. And I expect like 12 boxes at the end of the week. And those 12 will be gone over the weekend. I said, okay, so hit me with the good news. This is a box of cartridges, 50 cartridges. that would normally cost $22, $64.50 for a box of 50 shelf, not hollow points, nothing, just 50 bullets. And I thought, oh my God. I bought them. I bought them.
Well, you know, Larkin, I've got my FFL. We're in ammo with our main flagship store. I have a trap team, so we enjoy trap. Me and my daughter will shoot tonight, and children I always took since they were 12, and it's fun. You know, we don't talk about anything bad with guys.
So much fun.
A nice sport. But to find trap shells, 12-gauge, a box of 25, you can't. And the conservation club has trouble keeping the season going because they can't get them. And then other conservation clubs called me, can you help get them? So you can. I put the word out, but they were $5 to $6 a box. Now they're $12 to $14 if you could find them.
Right.
Just like you're saying.
Right.
You know, so you got this rapid inflation in everything. And people go, Mark, why though? And I said, well, you got the pandemic. You got the deep freeze in Texas for the polypropylene. You've got the Suez Canal. Somehow they jackknifed that ship. All these things, but the bubble that floated back in the pandemic, once they reopened, they couldn't get workers. But then also the fuel charge that happened in 07, 08, 09 is still on some of my bills when I order, but fuel had went down. The scary thing with this is that when they put surcharges and increase these prices, they don't go down rapidly, even when things get better. And that's something that worries me. If you're building a house and all of a sudden a wood package is $30,000 more than you figured with your new wife in the fall, you're probably not doing it. And this is going to all show up.
My daughter and her son are building an extension on the side of their house. And what should have cost them $25,000, because there are some footers involved and 4x4s and 2x6s and 2x4s, and then of course the floorboard that's a composite, I forget what it's called. It's not even wood. It's primarily. Those things are, that's like ridiculous. That's like taking a car loan out to get a half a dozen of them. It's just nuts.
By a guy, Dale, at the shop here, Larkin, went to buy a 6x6 post, 1 8-foot long, $89 over the weekend at Lowe's. You know. $89 for one post. Now, if you put a deck on, you're going to need six, whatever. You know, I mean, this is just real life.
But here's the question. Now, Mark, you said that you're still paying the excise fuel tax from 07?
Yes, you still see it on bills, and the point is once they put that surcharge, they never took it off.
Here's the question. So what everybody is saying, that we really have no watchdog on a national level looking out for this. Because if it was me, I would want to do everything that I can to help the businesses, you know, flourish in America. Now, you mentioned about the 2x4s. Do you think, how long is that going to last?
Yeah, well,
the outrageous price increase.
But my head contractor, I've talked to two in the last week. I belong to a conservation club, so I have to bartend 4 times a month. So that's what you do, you know. You talk to these, you know, your customers. Well, you know, Larkin, I was always better at the other side of the bar, never as a bartender.
But always.
I respect bartenders when I do this. It's a small club, too. But, you know, you talk to people. You know, I had people come in and we're manufacturing trailers again because I can't get trailers from CAM or CarMate. And people want trailers. If you have a roofing business, you need a dump trailer. So, you know, we built a 4 dump trailers. We got a little line going again of our dump trailers, which is a top quality product, which is what we sell by top quality. But when you do the bill of material, all the parts that go into the trailer, it's like double what it was. So then you put your labor on, and then you put perceived value you play into it, and you go, what would they pay for it? Well, the world's changed so much, so we were like, oh, my God, I'm like, once we found this bill of material, the new price, I said, we can't build and sell these trailers. Well, doesn't a guy come in with the 4 that we did build, and he said, I want that trailer. It looks custom. It looks top quality. Here's $5,000. So my point is, I told my guys, if I need a welder, I just landed a big welding job, I need welding machines, and they used to be $5,000. I won the job, and now they're $10,000. I'm going to buy the welder. I'm not going to be happy. But I'm still going to buy the welder. And that's what we're seeing, this change, though. We don't know what people will build. By commercial is a little different than residential. But what will they pay at this new cost to them? And most aren't educated, is what we're finding. They look at you like you're a thief or a criminal, and what are you charging this much for? And that's a bigger problem for me because, you know, we're always, oh, general welding's a lot of money, you know, costs a lot. Well, it costs more than doing it yourself, you know. But when it doubles like this, you've got to kind of explain that to the customer somehow.
Well, you know, Mark, you're having to do that alone. I really think that someone on a national level, on a television station,
exactly,
be it CNN or whatever, even on C-SPAN, we should be talking about this kind of stuff, not the petty any stuff that they're talking about to divide us.
My head of the shop, Dale, came up to me, Mark, you're saying all this, but people don't care. They're yelling at me. They said, can we get it out there somehow? Dale said, you know, so just what you're talking about, they're asking for, because the couple CEOs I talked about, they don't want to take the beating that I'm overcharging and all this. People aren't educated in what's going on. That should be a show, Mike. You're absolutely right. Instead of all this,
and there should be a weekly focus. I mean, every one of us on this show could be able to talk about it and bring in some real people from the manufacturing industry all over the United States. Like Larkin said, we went from 900 some thousand down to 100,000. When you put that 100,000 over 50 states, it's a little amount of people.
I've got a question for Larkin, Mike. Larkin, you're the most political involved and educated. You know, so politics plays a part here, but so if Trump had a good economy, if they'd give him that, I think we could all agree he had an economy rock and rolling. And, you know, Biden comes in an administration, he doesn't want to bring these things up because you want to keep it looking pretty good, right? So where is that line, Larkin? Do they hide this until the bottom falls out? Or, you know, they've got to talk about it at some time, to me, this rapid inflation that's happening.
Well, Mark, you're forcing my hand simply because I promised myself, my wife, and anybody who knows me.
It's hard.
I would not criticize Biden before his 100 days of opportunity were exhausted. And they're over May 1, which isn't too terribly long away. And I will say this. I am as confused about a political party's agenda with Biden as I ever been, as I have ever been with anybody.
They're kind of just letting it go, right? I mean, they're just letting it roll.
He has a mission, as I can see it. He has two missions. One is to kill anything that had Trump's name all over it. Reverse those executive decrees. And the other one was, I got elected, and I owe a lot of paybacks. So
yeah.
He's playing to the progressives and the left. It virtually makes no sense whatsoever when he closed the pipeline.
None.
Right.
I couldn't even invent reason. And guess what? He did that 6 hours after he was sworn in. 17,000 jobs, beep, down the hopper.
And Larkin, why wouldn't you want to be self-sufficient? And the animals ain't hurt. We ain't got leaking lines. We got a good solid line.
You know, we're going to be buying it from Russia and the Middle East again, and we're going to be right back where we were.
They can turn the faucet on and off again. You know, we had that control on our own.
Yeah, Lukoil's very happy. Oh, yeah. They're very happy.
Who is happy?
Lukoil.
Yeah, they're a retailer. They really, although they're owned by Russians, individuals that live in Russia. I don't know. Mark, I wish I could answer your question. I don't think anybody can predict where Biden's going to go from here. And I can't.
This is going to blow up, I think, in his face, you know.
But you know what?
I will tell you what will blow up in his face. listen to me very carefully. This is going to blow up in his face. His Blue Lives Matter, his assault on police,
yes,
and all of the stuff that's going on right now, he's either going to grab this bull by the horn and straighten it out, or the Democratic Party will not have a Democratic president for 20 years. He is killing the party with this position. And the fact that, you know, I got up this morning at 7 o'clock. I had an 8 o'clock call. So I thought, well, I'll get up at 7 o'clock. I want to see the news. I mean, it seems to me I've missed it left and right. I watch CBS, NBC, and ABC. Do you know what they reported on first? I mean, to me, the fact that they tore up Minnesota last night, broke into all these shops and stole every piece of inventory in
them. Yeah, I feel for them.
How can this not be the lead story? And CBS didn't mention it until like the third or fourth story in. They talked about the pandemic and vaccines and vaccinating children. And you know what? The vaccine's old news, guys, but they hide behind it. So does NBC, so does ABC. I turned to Fox. They were in Minnesota. They were just standing there going, we're not making up this smoke. This is actual smoke.
They were ducking with the flying water bottles, right, Larkin?
Yep. So I don't know. He's done a horrible job of unifying the country. He claims that was one of his number one jobs. He says he's going to favor the unions, and he cost 17,000 of them their job the first 6 hours of his administration. His border is completely out of control. And I actually saw somebody on MSNBC blame that on Trump. And I went, how do you blame that on Trump? And he put this screen up, graph, and for the last 7 months of Trump, there's little blips the size of, not even the size of the my fingernail. I've never seen it. Little blips. In the business world, when you see a graph like that, you say your sales or expenses, whatever's being represented, are flat. We're not doing anything. Up, down, just little tweaks that happen when you double pay an invoice. And then all of a sudden, Biden takes charge, and that thing went through the ceiling. And I have no idea what he's doing with the border. I have no idea what his intentions are. He won't tell anybody. What's he going to do to put his arms around this? And President Biden, do you really have a bigger problem facing your presidency right now than a wide open southern border with all of these governors getting ready to sue you and all, you know, they put them on Greyhound buses and send them to Poughkeepsie, Iowa and say, you know, good luck finding a job. So now what Poughkeepsie, Iowa has is 20
they
or 30.
They had some trucking jobs in the pipeline.
Yeah.
They don't have them no more.
Well, you know, Larkin, that brings up a point that we're watching all this, and we talked about this border situation. No president should be able to do this on his own and say, wait, we need more people in the country, as they did in the early 1920s. And in the early 1900, we don't need that amount of people coming to the country. And we're not a place that's able to welcome people to this amount. It's a strain on our housing system, welfare system, security system, yet nobody's talking about it. Every person is saying, oh, they're there at the door border. We can't send them back. They had a deal a year ago. Nobody comes to the border of the United States. They were holding the people back in Mexico. I'm sorry, this is going to, as you said, going to turn out to be a nightmare. They were talking about the $15 an hour minimum wage. More and more people that are coming in are going to take up the jobs that could be for American workers and kill the whole system. You're not going to get a major increase in wages. It can't. And the people who are working are making $15 or better because they're quality people doing a job. Bringing all these immigrants in without our approval, we should be the people who go to the ballot box and say, yes, we want to allow in 50,000, 100,000, 200,000 because we need them. Do we need these people at this time? And how does one person have the authority to represent 330 million people without their consent? Their consent should be done at the ballot box.
They call the people the Trumpers and whatnot, but there was 86 million of them or whatever. But you know what? I've talked to a bunch of my friends or whatever that wanted Trump. You know what they're doing? They're working. They go back to work. You know, they're not doing crazy things. They go back to work hard and just accepted what happened. But when you see the things happening, like Larkin said, at the border, or if it's pulling everybody out of Afghanistan, there's got to be a thought process or shutting down the Keystone Pipeline. You've got to look at that, like you said, as a team.
No president should be able to represent the long-term well-being of 330 million
and
people at
favors,
the stroke
like
of a pen.
Said. It's all favors that
we're
here.
I want to just add a little point about the police, quote-unquote, police brutality. I listened to a little bit of the Chauvin trial yesterday and happened to catch one of the defense witnesses. And this guy made one remark that I actually laughed out loud. He said, nowhere in any police training manual, nowhere in any program designed to make police better citizens, does it say that a police criminal confrontation needs to be a fair, equal fight.
Oh, my.
Well, it's true. That's what we're calling for now. It's got to be a fair fight. So I've watched that tape, and I watched that girl miss a fire.
Yes.
It wasn't her intention to kill that kid yesterday. But here comes my father's number one piece of advice to me when I was probably 9 years old. And he had to, 11, and he had to come down to the station and pick me up because one of the neighborhood cops took me in to teach me a lesson. And on the way home, my father said to me, listen to me very carefully. If you remember nothing I say to you for the rest of your life, do not resist arrest, guilty or innocent. Do not resist arrest because immediately all bets are off.
Yeah.
All bets have to be off if you resist arrest under the law. And sorry, I mean, you know, I used to drive a Dodge Dart wagon. It was push button. It had the back blinker lights hanging off by a wire. The license plate lost one of the screws, and it was waving in the wind. And
I can picture the car.
it was a champion, believe me. They used to pull me over on a regular basis, and they used to make fun of me. What in God's name are you driving here? And you got to fix this, and you got to fix that. And they'd say, go get it fixed. And then every once in a while, they'd write me a warning ticket, which meant I had to go get it fixed. Because I had to bring it in, show it to them, fixed in order to continue driving the car. I'm really going to start a movement where cops picking on people that drive ratty cars kind of isn't fair. Why aren't you stopping the guy that's driving, a Lincoln Continental with every light burning? And I don't know. It just to me is we're arguing the wrong things. Period. Amen. We're just arguing about discussing and concerning ourselves about the wrong thing.
But it's what they're selling on this media. It's what they want to put on at night. If they wanted to put on Made in America, boy, we'd be cranking. They just sell what they want to sell.
Right. And the sad part of the national media, what they're really doing is, and that's why people are starting to just tune it out, they're trying to divide the American people by race, color, and creed. And it went on for too long. It's just too much of that focus. There should be a focus on saying, look, let's get everybody into a training program so that they have a future. Why did our schools, Larkin, drop all the tech programs 25 years ago? Do you have an answer?
Okay, so I don't have an answer other than it wasn't cool to be blue collar.
Exactly. They were pushing college.
They were pushing college to everybody. You got to go to college. You got to assume about a $60,000 debt that you're going to pay back at a great interest rate, by the way.
No matter what you went for, you had to go to college, Larkin.
Right. But not everybody is college material, number one. And plus, the manufacturers should have been out there hawking the idea. If we want to have businesses here in our own country, we need the people who are going to be ready, willing, and able to fill the jobs we need.
I just talked to another gentleman on our town board, but he said these school boards are so strong and they're part-timers that the town boards can't touch them. So they make their own decisions.
Now, if that was something the president of not only this president, but all presidents of the past 10, 12, 15 years said, I want to go to the schools and I want them to present a plan for me. How are we going to retrain America's workforce starting in the 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, middle school, high school? No one has ever done that. It's all just dividing people. You know, you'd hear it report after report. Not one person in the last week mentioned the thing about getting more Americans employed, but they told me 50 times on every report that there's 8 million people out of a job since the pandemic. My question to the television is, well, what are you doing about getting those 8 million and another 8 million on a job?
Yeah, Mike, and the biggest problem is they're giving that $300 to September 6th right now.
That's right.
We talk about it. I just did this Zoom interview. Even the head of the chamber in East Aurora, who's neutral with politics, said it's a huge problem. They don't want to come back, and they don't need to come back, and they're making four times the money. Who would come back?
Right, 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 right. It's very, very depressing. But you know what,
it's
Larkin?
It's a huge problem.
Now, I'm going to ask Larkin the second part of the question. The second part of the question was this. Were people 25 and 30 years ago discussing how many businesses closed and moved out of America?
If they were, they weren't getting the press. They weren't getting the attention. It just wasn't gripping enough. None of the networks, none of the papers were addressing the fact that these numbers were falling every year and falling precipitously.
I'm thinking about Bruce Springsteen's songs back then in the 80s. They're closing down the factories. And, you know, it was noticed, I think, Mike, but I don't think people realize what was happening, and they're going for these cheaper products and goods, but not realizing they're wiping their own jobs out.
Wiping their own jobs out. And that's what everybody in management is telling me. Michael, go through the stores, rush through the stores the way these people do in the carts, and they got to go to pick up their kids, or they got to go, you know, deliver this to their house. Nobody looks at the labels. So therefore, what his point is, America's businesses have to get their products back into the stores and stop, you know, dilly-dallying around. Larkin, you said that about a month ago. How do we get America's businesses back to the table of wanting to manufacture here in the USA?
I'm trying to make a list. And one of the things that I have added to that list, vis-a-vis the conversation that we had a half hour ago with Mark, is I want to start a club. It's not so much a club, but an association. Doesn't cost you. It's not a matter of paying to belong. You want to cover your expenses. You want to be able to send letters to buyers. You want to be able to send letters to members of board of directors, and say, this is the American Buyers Club, and we are 7.5 million strong, and here's the deal. We're going to start looking at the labels. Here's the deal. We want you to start hiring our American workers. here's the deal. No more sourcing cheap stuff. If you do, and we find out that you are, then you're going to pay the price because we're not shopping there. And it would be hardest to do that in Walmart because all of the people shopping in Walmart with their wives right now, husbands and wives, both sides, are in there shopping to save money, and they're both out of work.
And they're doing it quickly through the store. Boom, 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 and let's get out. They got to wait longer in the line to get out than they had to go pick up the stuff in the store.
But, I don't know what you think of that, Mark. It's a huge attempt. It's a huge operation. It's a huge opportunity. I don't know what you call it, to start something it's like anything else. $5 a year would pay the postage, I would think. And maybe we try to hit industry as hard as we hit the consumers for their constant help in trying to battle this. I don't think we want a lot of industry on our panel. I think the panel needs to be all consumers, and they need to be consumers, and we need to run an occasional commercial that somebody will cover for us. It says, we are American consumers, and we are pissed off.
I love it, Larkin.
It does come down to we the people. All the pressure's on we the people. And, talked about, Mike, a disconnect between, how did it happen back in, 30 years ago in the early 90s. So people were buying cheaper product. They didn't really know they were taking their job on the other end. It's similar to right now. They're giving free money out. So people are taking the cheese. They're taking the money. But they don't realize they're wasting the businesses out that they worked for. They don't know.
Yep.
Because if they don't come back, the businesses can't survive, so they wipe them out. But they got the free money for a short period of time.
You know, Larkin, there's something else we discussed, and I said, well, I'm going to ask Larkin. He loves the statistics. You gave some statistics on that.
I want a segment of this program called Ask Larkin.
Larkin, this question I'm going to ask you, maybe you could research this. This was a good question. Even I was baffled by it. They said, maybe ask Mr. Larkin to look back in the labor and industry statistics. How many people did we have in America back in 1960, between 1960 and 1970 census? And how many people were in manufacturing based upon that level of population? And give it a figure. Then go from 71 to 80. How many people did we have in America? You can find out on the debt clock. There's a listing of how many people were in the country. But the labor and statistic thing, I never had time to look at that. And then between 81 and 90, how many Americans did we have in the country? How many were employed? How many were in industry? And also just continue up until at least 210. That would give us a thermometer of what's going on. And Larkin, I think what you just said earlier, if you can look at that report, that would be great, because you'll find it on the Department of Labor Statistics, and you like to look at those technical things. But here's something else. I like your idea a lot, to bring on consumers, and also let's also bring on some businesses. Maybe, Mark, you can suggest some of your people that are looking to maybe branch out to some other states and things like that. You're trying to branch out to other, mini marts and things like that. Something has to be done. We can't listen to the regular news media anymore because they're just wasting time. They're filling time is really what it comes down to. They're not trying to help people to stay employed, united, strong, be proud of who they are. We don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. Act and be an American. And that's something we're not hearing in the media. Yes.
I'm talking about a very subtle logo that doesn't say Buy American or anything like that, but a very subtle logo that you would put on the bumper of your car that might create as much, what does that mean, as it would, oh, that guy supports American made. And I'm not trying to throw anything into anybody's face. I'm just creating, I would think that we would be creating an element of society that is pissed off. There's no better way of putting it. Just very, very mad at the way they're being treated. You've taken our jobs away, and you continue to do that by buying stuff that is completely and totally sourced offshore.
You know, Larkin, I'd love to know, as you're looking at those statistics, were there a lot of manufacturing associations around during those years? And whatever happened to them now? They should really be... out there supporting and pushing what they make and who's part of their association. I don't hear anything.
Yeah, Mike, I belong. You know, there's a few. They're just not strong enough. It needs to be on a national level, if you guys agree. It just has to be a national agenda. Well, like Larkin said, a lot of good stuff, but
I believe that CNN, and not CNN, but C-SPAN is a place to really do some of these things. A proposal has to be made, and it has to be well advertised. I know 21 stations myself that I deal with that would definitely promote this type of thing.
You know what would help, Mike, is if I put a Made in America store where every Walmart is. Just take them over, put the Made in America in there.
I agree. Mark, something's got to happen, or we're going to die as a people. We're just going to become a welfare society. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can hear by the music, it's time for us to say goodbye for today. Thank you for tuning in. You can hear rebroadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com until this Saturday at 11 right here on 860, or next Wednesday at 11. I wish you and yours the very best. Please go out and support your local businesses and support American Made.
Have a great week, guys. Great show. Thank you.